This is Strange Harbor.
Stories of UFO sightings and alien abductions date back centuries. My next guest says the rumors are true. He was abducted by aliens 45 years ago.
The abduction phenomenon is clandestine. The way the secrecy prevails is that first and foremost, the abductees are not allowed to remember what happened to them. So when they do remember, it's not a full memory. It's in bits and pieces of memory.
I did a polygraph, a voice stress test. There were eyewitnesses to this account.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, Alien Sasquatch, all things strange. This is Strange Harbor.
And it's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, we talk about UFOs and ghosts and Sasquatch and conspiracies and things that go bump in the night and things that slap you in the face in the afternoon. Johnny Manson, along with Cherie DeSeuss. She's the qualified, I'm the unqualified. How you doing?
I'm great.
Are we going to talk some strange stuff?
You betcha.
Now, you've worked in hospitals.
Yes,
right?
I did for 40-some-odd years.
You've probably seen some pretty strange things.
Oh, yes, I have, Johnny.
Now, can you share any of those strange things without violating the...
HIPAA?
You know, what's that? What is it?
HIPAA.
What's that?
That's the hospital's no-no list. You don't get to talk about the patient's name
right.
or where they live.
But you could talk about things.
I can talk about things.
Okay. What do you want to share with the strange things that you've encountered working in hospitals for 40-plus years?
Well, I have had some personal experiences working in an operating room.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in the military, I used to work in the ER, so whatever was weird and strange, I saw first before it went into the OR.
Oh, wow.
There are some strange things that either people do to themselves or things that happen to people. Like, for instance, it was a slow, believe it or not, Tuesday afternoon, and I get a call from the ER to come take a look at a patient that needs to go to the OR. So I trotted on down there and waited for the ambulance to drive up, and it took six guys to get this poor man out of the ambulance because he had the shears that you use to cut the hedges with,
mm-hmm.
hand shears,
mm-hmm.
stuck in his side.
Oh.
Deeply.
How does that happen?
You know, falling on them probably okay. is not a good thing for people.
That'll do it.
Yeah. He was apparently up high trying to get a high hedge and lost his balance and woof. So we brought him in and we were able to dislodge the shears and clean up all the grass and,
oh.
and the mud. And he had a full recovery.
How long does it take to desensitize yourself from, like, the blood and gore of that kind of situation?
I was born that way.
Yeah?
Yeah. When I was about 5 years old, my mom was cutting paper toilet rolls in slices and then putting tin foil around them and bright ribbon and hanging them on our tree, something she saw on Women's Day or Family Circle or mm-hmm. some such thing. And it was in deep snow in Connecticut. And I, at 5 years old, pulled my little chair over and stepped up, took that razor blade, stuck my thumb in the roll, and cut my thumb.
Oh.
Not smart. So I walked up and I said, "Hey, Mom, you know, got this boo-boo."
Mm-hmm.
My mom freaked out. She put four, not one, not two, not three, but four towels around my thumb. She wanted to put herself as far distance away as possible.
Right.
And drove me to a doctor, and the nurse kept pushing my head, you know, "Don't look, don't look." And I said, "I want to see." And the doctor says, "Leave that little girl alone. That's our next nurse coming up."
Right. I would have grossed out.
You would have grossed out.
I would have grossed out. I mean, even if it was my own thumb, I would have just, ugh.
Yeah, I've actually operated on myself.
Yeah.
Little things.
Right.
You know, there are people that just can do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just sort of a plumber with the wet being red instead of just clear.
Mary can sit there and eat dinner and watch real, actual surgeries on TV, but if she sees fake gore, it grosses her out.
That's interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So she can divorce herself from the goo and the garbage, but
yeah,
she can't when it's up front and central.
Yeah, when it's like fake stuff, it bothers her.
But. Well, I just never had that problem.
Yeah.
And so being in the operating room my whole career was perfect.
So working in hospitals, you've seen death.
Oh.
I would assume.
Yeah, I really have.
Have you seen afterlife kind of situations or like ghosts or anything like that?
Yes.
Anything jump out at you, specific instances where, you know, I saw a spirit leave a body or enter a body or any strange stuff?
Yeah, there's been some pretty strange things that have happened in the OR and in the hospital in general. And not all that I've seen or actually experienced, but what others have seen and experienced.
Mm-hmm.
I know we had a bad traffic accident, and we had about 13, 14 people coming in.
Wow.
And, I mean, as fast as they were coming in, they were getting into the OR. So we were really busy. There were, you know, ages between kids to elderly adults. And we noticed a lot of things that night. When someone would pass away, the room would get really cold. Now, the ORs are kept cold anyway. It helps with bacterial spreading, and it keeps us cool because we're under hot lights. We have garb on, surgical garb on. But, like, right over the patient, we had a blast of cold air, and the surgeon's looking at me, and I'm looking back, and I'm saying, did you feel that? Yeah. So that has happened, and on more than one occasion.
What do you think that was?
You know, some kind of energy was leaving that body because it felt like it went from our abdomens, which is right at table level, all the way up to our head and beyond us.
Mm-hmm.
So it was traveling from, you know, our feet basically up to our heads and to the ceiling. And then when it was gone, it was gone.
Did that person die?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, on the table. And that happens rarely, but it happens a lot in trauma centers.
Yeah.
Just because they're taking in all the traumas for the cities. And, yeah, weird things like that would happen.
My energy accumulated into a sort of a cloud-like space above my body, and I was observing a movie below. And it was a very interesting movie. At first, I was very detached from it, and then as I remained there and watched what was going on below, I started to become more attached to it.
What happened was, initially, I found myself suspended.
I was in a position where I was up in the ceiling again, and looking down.
The next thing I realized is I'm now floating up into the corner of the room, and I'm now looking down on me in this bed with people working on me.
I was above my body in an emergency room while the team of emergency staff, police, and everyone was trying to help bring me back to life.
We had a person come in and lost their arm, and the hand and the arm kept moving after we removed it. And there are certain movements that, muscle movements and nerves, but when you give a thumbs up sign, I draw the line.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
So we've had some weird things that have happened in the OR.
I saw in front of me start to envelop this light. Couldn't tell the distance to the light.
Which was totally blinding light, yet I could look at it.
It's like walls of illuminated light, a brilliance I had never seen in my life.
Was this slowly spinning white light.
Pretty soon the light was shining on top of me, like rays were falling on me. This light, that was the best experience I had ever had in my life.
In this moment, there was an explosion of light.
And a feeling of such joy and overwhelming ecstasy being in this illumination of light.
That came towards me, a very clear and pure light that had fine white and gold tendrils off of it.
When we hit the light, when we entered this light.
And I marveled at this ball because it was infinite.
And all of a sudden it starts to grow and everything is illuminated in this light.
And saw a limb of light.
I did become aware of a point of white light, intense, brilliant, gajillion times brighter than the sun, a little point of white light, and it was absolutely beautiful. It was alive. It was like breathing.
I'm overwhelmed by the feeling of being in this light.
It was so bright, so powerful, that it was beyond light.
It's everything I can see is the light and the feeling of it.
Have you experienced anyone that had a near-death experience in any of the facilities you worked at? Like, they died on the table and came back and, you know, just started talking. I had a near-death experience. I went to the other side. Anything like that?
Yeah. It does happen. Yeah. It does happen. And what's really striking is that these individuals will wake up out of anesthesia and they'll tell you what was going on in the room.
Right. There was this one gal who had a near-death experience, and it seems like a lot of the cases, they end up on the ceiling above their body, looking down on you guys working on the body, but then they can go in other rooms in different floors of the hospital. This gal was able to tell what other people on different floors were doing and thinking.
As I was floating above my body, at the time I wasn't sure it was my body, but later I realized that is me down there. I wound up knowing everything about everybody in the room, which I found fascinating.
And I thought, well, it's so strange. How can this possibly be them talking about me when I'm right here?
I came to a floor that had a lot of patients in one room, and I wound up knowing everything about them, who was dying and when, who was going home, who was having a party when they did go home. And I got bored with that, and I raised up some more, and I was out of the hospital.
The orthopedic surgeon and the neurosurgeon had a conversation, which I watched and listened to, and they were talking about the fact that too much time was passing and that they needed to do something.
And the doctor was very distraught, and I recall him saying, if I lose this one, I will quit. I can't handle this anymore.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
I don't know. I don't think it's crazy.
Yeah?
I think it's definitely possible.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand how the brain works.
Right.
Anesthesiologists don't understand why anesthesia works.
That's comforting, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot to know about the human brain and consciousness that we just don't know. And when scientists say, oh, poo-poo, you know, it's neurons and it's this and it's that. No, I think the jury's still out. I think that when I've heard patients tell me that we were playing Hotel California in the OR after they'd been asleep for like an hour and that they thought that was inappropriate.
But you guys often play music in the operating room, right?
Oh, all the time. And, you know, I've worked in hospitals where it was like country western twang all day or hard rock and roll at the highest possible during brain surgery. So, yeah, you know, it's dealer's choice. The anesthesiologist will choose if he's got all the music. And a lot of surgeons will come in and put on their music. So even some surgeons will read a book or learn a language while they're doing surgery. So, hola, ¿cómo está?
Right. Wow. But isn't that kind of distracting from the end goal of the whole purpose why they're there? Or is that just a technique that they use to help them?
It has been proven that the brain has the ability to learn better under certain circumstances. Some people are, I've got to see it to know how to do it.
Right.
Some people are, I've got to hear it to do a better job. And so for surgeons, having that music on or having a book being read actually relaxes their brain, and their clarity is really great. You know, you can't beat having a Zen attitude when you come into the OR. And when you've done it for years and years and years, I used to walk into the OR like I was walking into a market. I mean, yeah. There was nothing you could surprise me with. Nothing. And then all of a sudden you'd get surprised. You know, there are some really weird stuff that can happen to the human body. I don't know if you know who Dr. Sanjay Gupta is.
That name sounds really familiar.
Yeah, you know, you see him on CNN a lot. He is the doctor that they call on, correspondent, whenever they have a medical issue or they want to talk about the pandemic or something like that. He's a brilliant doctor, and he has been all over the world caring for patients. So he has a lot of experience with really weird stuff. He has found that there are people with water allergies. Can you imagine not jumping into the shower and just letting that hot water hit you for half an hour?
Right.
I mean, a water allergy, really?
That would suck.
it's only been known to affect 30 people. A water allergy, and they call it an aquagenic urticaria, is extremely rare, sure, but its existence has been confirmed by the Medical Review Board. The sufferers appear to be allergic to water. It usually occurs late in life and often as a consequence of a hormonal imbalance brought on by giving birth. So that makes you safe.
Right.
And this woman in the UK in April of this year, she's a 21-year-old mother and unable to drink water.
Oh, that just has to suck.
She can't get caught in the rain because her skin develops a painful burning rash. She can only shower for a maximum of 10 seconds per week, and then she has to pat herself down dry as soon as possible. She only drinks Diet Coke. She can't drink water. And it is not strictly an allergy, but a hypersensitivity to the ions that are found in non-distilled water.
I went to high school in Everett with this gal. She was my lab partner in biology, and she, Genevieve was her name, really nice girl. She was allergic to everything, and she had these blotches all over her face and this dry skin. And one day I just finally asked, I'm like, you know, what's up? And she's just like, I'm just allergic to everything. It's just pathetic. And it would just suck to be allergic to so much that, you know, you get these boily rashes and stuff.
Yeah.
Drinking water, not being able to drink water, that's just torment. That's torture.
It is. I mean, it is, and it's in our bodies. The fact that there's saline in it and there's ions in her body, her organs probably look like Swiss cheese.
Ugh.
Oh, I know.
Zoanthropy. Have you heard of that? Zoanthropy? It's only one O. Zoanthropy?
Zoanthropy.
This 54-year-old woman in Belgium, she thought she was a chicken. Ooh. No history of drug or alcohol abuse. Her brother found her clucking in her garden and crowing like a rooster. And apparently she has this condition where a person thinks they're an animal. There's been 56 reported cases in medical history. People believe that they're either a dog, a lion, a tiger, a hyena, a crocodile, a frog, cat, goose, rhino, shark, rabbit, horse, snake, bear, gerbil, and a bee.
That's interesting.
Right.
You know, that kind of folds into, you know, do we come back? Do we get reincarnated?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if you were a bee and then you were born a human, but you couldn't get rid of what you were?
Yeah.
And then you had the body of a human. That's sad.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's torture.
Yeah. Boy, I'd want to be reincarnated again. Woo.
What about those people who are born and they start remembering a past life? Like a lot of this happens with kids a lot.
It happens a lot. It happened to me.
And they remember things that they shouldn't remember, you know, prior or before the age of the internet where you could, you know, maybe fool somebody. You know, you have a 6-year-old telling mom and dad on TV that the pilot has his stripes on the wrong arm.
I saw that.
Right.
I saw that.
Now, explain that. Or explaining that he can draw a cockpit and all the accurate instruments. How's he knowing this?
World War II.
Right.
The only way to explain it is one of two ways,
mm-hmm.
in my book. One is that he truly was reincarnated. He remembered the name. He remembered the insignia. He remembered his best friend's name.
He remembered things that he shouldn't know.
Who was still alive.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And his nicknames. Now, that could be, you know, that he was reincarnated and that all played out. But there's another thing. I, since early, have believed that we have DNA dreams.
Yeah?
When your DNA comes from all your family prior, why not have a dream or memories of a life that you may not have lived, but your past family lived?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes sense to me. To me, it does.
Right.
And that's how I would explain it. Either reincarnation took place. I mean, there was a little girl in India who talked about a woman who passed away in the village next to theirs.
Mm-hmm.
She talked about her life. She talked about her children. She talked about her husband. Everything. And so they put the family and this little girl together, and the family said, yeah, this is our mom.
Wow.
Wow.
And I guess, like, some of them have scars or birthmarks, mm-hmm. where, like, let's say in a past life they were shot in the chest.
Right.
And that exact spot in that child, there's a birthmark on the chest that, you know, kind of looks like a bullet hole, but it's a birthmark. Exact same spot.
Yeah, yeah, and it's happened a lot. I have a birthmark on my back that's, you know, typical of a knife wound.
Yeah, somebody stabbed you in the back.
Somebody stabbed me in the back, I guess. So, yeah, that's absolutely true.
Well, it's Strange Harbor, and we're talking about the weird. What do you want to talk about in the next segment?
I want to talk about the laughing death.
Wouldn't be from my show.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, Ghosts, UFOs, Aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor, be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. Cherie DeSeuss and Johnny Manson, we are strange. And we talk about strange stuff, UFOs and Sasquatch near-death experience, conspiracies. What are we talking about now?
Weird diagnoses.
Okay.
All right. So there's something called the laughing death.
The laughing death.
Laughing death. It's more commonly known as Kuru.
Mm-hmm.
It's exclusive to the tribal Four people of New Guinea. The disease is characterized by sudden bursts of maniacal laughter.
They just start laughing uncontrollably?
Uncontrollably.
Okay.
It hit the headlines in the 1950s when they first saw it. And it drew doctors from all over the world who wanted to see this strange, maniacal laughing disease. U.S. and Australia physicians observed men and women with shaking limbs that would subside with rest. But a month to 3 months later, the same sufferers would begin to sway, stumble, and lose the ability to stand.
Hmm.
They became cross-eyed and lost the power of coherent speech before dying. Yeah.
Wow.
So, of course, you know, they were doing some autopsies.
Mm-hmm.
The National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke reported that tests on the diseased showed death had been caused by the emergence of holes in the brain, known as Swiss cheesing. Yeah. That's a medical term, Swiss cheesing.
Is it just with the brain, that medical term used?
As far as I know,
yeah.
Although I have seen some livers that were Swiss cheese.
Yeah, mine probably isn't all that great right now. My 20s, I don't remember them, but anyway.
Okay. Well, eventually, the United States physician, Carlton Gajdusek, worked out that the infection was being passed on through the village custom of eating family members after death.
Eating family members?
Yeah, cannibalism. So when they stopped the cannibalism, guess what? The epidemic came to a stop. And in 1976, Gajdusek was awarded the Nobel Prize for his work. All right, so let's talk about Alice in Wonderland syndrome.
Okay.
According to the Oxford Handbook of Clinical Medicine, sufferers of Alice in Wonderland syndrome perceive objects as being far smaller than they are. Imagine a lady on her wedding night.
Ooh, oh!
The condition, also known as microbesia or Lilliput sight, can also affect the sense in hearing, touch, and perceptions of one's own body image. Can you imagine, like, just seeing everything smaller?
Right.
That'd be great for me. I'd look a lot skinnier. And it's associated with migraine headaches that are named after Lewis Carroll's Alice Adventures in Wonderland, in which Alice goes through many bizarre experiences similar to micropsychia sufferers. So the fact that Carroll suffered from migraines, it's well documented.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured that the suffering may have prompted many passages in his work for the writing of Alice in Wonderland.
Hmm.
Tied that up in a nice little bow, huh? Now, there's the last one here. It's called Alien Hand Syndrome. This
okay.
is my favorite. I always save my favorites for last. The phrase, the right hand doesn't know what the left is doing, is actually literally true for some people.
Mm-hmm.
The condition involves a rogue hand that acts independently, grasping objects or moving in a way contrary to what the individual wishes to do. Sometimes a rare side effect to brain injuries or surgical severing of the corpus callosum. It's the inability to control the actions of one hand. Now, I've had dates like that, so I know it exists.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no cure for the condition, though the symptoms can be managed by making sure the hand is actively engaged in an activity.
Hmm. Keep it busy, right?
Mm, keep your hand busy. Oh, that's crazy. Do you know what the biggest living thing on Earth is?
Let's see. The Pacific Ocean. I don't know.
That's a good guess,
mm-hmm.
actually. It's not the largest thing, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a whale. It's not the redwood trees or elephants. The largest living organism on the planet by acreage is the humongous fungus.
Hmm.
It's a fungus. This mushroom has spread across 2,385 acres, the National Forest in Oregon.
Is it like a sprouted mushroom thing, or is it... you have that fungi that looks, I don't know how to explain it, looks like a rumpled up blanket, but then you have like those mushrooms with the caps on the top.
Is it
like that?
It's a mushroom with the cap on the top, and you can eat it.
Wow. It's not poisonous?
No. They discovered it in 2017 and used DNA testing to determine that all the parts of the growth are, in fact, different segments of the same organism.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And they think that it's been growing for either 2,400 years or 8,600 years. That's how long this fungus has been among us.
I'm sure we'll destroy it, pick it, eat it all. So it's,
I don't think you could eat 2,000 acres of fungus, but yeah, you'd be, oh my goodness, that's terrible.
And it's in Oregon.
It's in Oregon, in the forest.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I saw something similar the other day on TV, but it was with spiders and spider webs.
You know, I was like everybody else about spiders. The only good spider was a dead spider.
Mm-hmm.
And I have learned to not do that, and it makes everybody else around me kind of nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I take the spider and bring it outside or put it into one of my plants now.
Right.
Because I've realized that they really are helpful.
They are.
And we're losing bugs by the thousands.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of thousands.
Right.
It's species, whole species are being lost.
Mm-hmm.
Beetles and all kinds of bugs. So, yeah, I'm doing my part by bringing the spider outside.
I'm teaching the girls that, too. Yesterday, even, Daisy ran out of her room. Daddy, there's a spider in my room. I'm just like, leave it alone. Well, I think it's a brown recluse. I told them about the brown recluse. And I'm like, no, it's probably not a brown recluse. And the spider's not going to attack you. It just wants to be left alone. It'll take care of the bugs, any bugs that come in. So she went back and, you know, took a video of it and sent it to her grandma, you know.
Her video, that's so cute. That is so cute. Oh no.
But yeah, we saved the bugs.
Well, you know, we talk a lot about ghosts, right?
We do. Yes.
Yeah, we did at the beginning of the program. And I just wanted to let you know that the scientific community is trying really hard to make all of us believe that it's something else.
That it's not ghosts?
That it's not ghosts. Now, I've seen them. I've
mm-hmm.
talked to them. I've listened to EVPs,
mm-hmm.
The electronic voice phenomena. I've watched the programs on TV,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen. I mean, you'd have to have been living under a rock not to have at least heard one EVP on one show accidentally because you were going somewhere else.
Right.
I mean,
I'm just wondering, like, they'll get these instruments that do nothing but white noise. I don't know what those instruments are.
Okay, that's a REM pod.
How do they know that that's going to work and that that white noise it produces actually produces or opens up whatever to where we can hear an entity communicating, often just like one word? But I just don't know how they figured that out.
Well, with everything science,
mm-hmm.
you just got to keep trying.
Yeah.
So this was just
trial and error.
Trial and error. You throw out all this equipment out at all these ghost hunters, and you say, try this out.
Mm-hmm.
And they start getting stuff. So they tweak it. They tweak the instrumentation. What they found is by, if you're using a REM pod, what it does is it goes through different channels, like radio frequency channels,
mm-hmm.
really fast. That's what the white noise that you're hearing.
Okay.
It's going through the channels super fast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you will maybe get but if you can get a full sentence,
right,
that is not normal. Okay, mm-hmm. when you hear an entity say, get out,
right.
over a REM pod, you can't fake that.
Right.
You just can't. Because it's going over all the frequencies, and some of the entities have gotten really good at it. Now, there are different kinds of instrumentation. There's the EMF. It's electromagnetic field generators, or not generator, but it gives you a count on the meter how much electromagnetic field is being dispersed.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how they knew that I had a high electromagnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't put it near me when they go on ghost hunts.
You get to stay home?
I get to stay home. So electrical cords, there are things that put out a lot of EMFs.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these different instrumentations have really made me feel comfortable that we are getting there as far as talking to the other side.
What do you think society would be like if we could just talk to people that have passed on just whenever we wanted to?
I think it would be a problem, Johnny.
Yeah,
yeah, I really do. You know, think about it. The wife remarries.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I can't think of anything that'd go wrong there. Or a child dies and mm-hmm. the mother just can't let go.
Right.
You know, there are certain things that the human body can handle.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stress may be just too much for us.
Right.
And I don't think everybody is here. I think most go
mm-hmm.
wherever it is they go. But there are some here that just can't let go. And there have been reports that there are people that say things, entities will say, damn God,
mm-hmm.
you know, no heaven, I don't know where I am. Those kind of comments are very inflammatory,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there are people that really have a faith. And they know where they're going and probably will go there. But then there are those who...
are stubborn.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. They just, you know, I'm going to stay on Earth. I'm going to... And I guess maybe that is their purgatory.
I know of one ghost hunter who went to a house that was having some problems. And they found a little girl. She had like a twin that also died, but the one like didn't stuck around because she didn't know she had died, like the twin had died.
Right.
So she was sticking around this house doing the haunting and stuff, but then once that this ghost hunter was able to convey that, no, your sister's over, go to the light because your sister's there.
Your sister's there.
She went immediately and she said that you could tell the whole room, the whole house just kind of like settled, like it was, you could tell it was like over.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
A medium can really do that, a good medium.
Right.
I've had the opportunity to meet mediums, and, you know, they're like anything else. You know, there are really good ones, and then there are those that aren't as good.
Mm-hmm.
They try, you know, maybe they'll get better over time, but they're not as strong.
Right. And then you have the
charlatans,
yeah,
the hoaxsters,
right?
That's in any job description,
and they ruin it for the legit ones.
Yeah,
don't you
think? They do, because science will pick on those.
Mm-hmm.
Science has 6 possible scientific reasons that people believe in ghosts. Would you like to hear them?
I would.
Well, the first one, believe it or not, is low frequency sound.
Hmm.
Now we can hear between a 20,000 hertz and a, like say a 20 hertz. You know, there are certain ranges in there that we hear.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you go above 22,000 hertz or you go below 20 hertz, that's the ultrasonic range.
Mm-hmm.
When it's too high pitched. So anything above 20,000 hertz, sounds are too high for our ears to parse them, like the echolocation calls of bats.
Mm.
They fall into that ultrasound range. And the low frequency sounds are known as infrasound.
Infrasound, yeah.
One of your favorite words. In 2003, a study of 22% of concert goers who were exposed to sounds at 17 hertz reported feeling uneasy, sorrowful, chilled, nervous feelings, revulsion, and fear.
Hmm.
It can bring, and I know that the military used that on the enemy back in the 70s. They used mm-hmm. sound to make the enemy uneasy. Humans can create their own sound.
Hmm.
Low frequency sound, like through diesel engines,
mm-hmm.
Wind turbines, loudspeakers, or even chemical explosions have an infrasound.
Wow.
Yeah. So we have the ability to make those sounds. All right. So the number two thing is mold. Believe it or not, breathing in that toxic stuff can be bad for your brain. It's known to cause neurologic symptoms like delirium and dementia or irrational fears. Really, John, if you think about it, is it a coincidence that the old, non-lived-in, rambled-out houses are the ones we go ghost hunting into? Do you know how much mold is in those houses?
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, so there's a firm link between the presence of mold and reported ghost sightings. I don't know if I buy that, but yeah, if you're in there long enough, you could get delirious, but most ghost hunters go in there and get out, especially if they're told.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so how about carbon monoxide?
Okay.
Just breathing in mold could lead us to see, hear, and feel things that aren't really there. So can breathing in too much carbon monoxide. And it could be, it's colorless, odorless, and poisonous to us. It's undetected by any of our senses. So if you've got a broken furnace and that's putting out some carbon monoxide, woof. In the 1920s, about the H family, who moved into a new house only to hear footsteps, see apparitions, and feel malicious paranormal presences. And it turned out to be carbon monoxide.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's some truth to that one. And then there's the power of suggestion.
Right.
Studies say that we're more likely to believe in a paranormal experience if someone else who was there can back up our belief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that makes sense, right? And we tend to put more stock into someone else's eyewitness account if it backs our suspicions. So our belief in ghosts can be catching.
Hmm.
And that's something. Probably when you're young, huh?
Yeah.
If you ever played the Ouija board, that's a way to solidify your belief in otherworldly paranormal kind of stuff, because there's always someone that's willing to spell out some words and then they're increasing your belief about it. And then something as simple as drafts. Air can make things look really weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if all the windows are closed and there's a draft in your room, who's going to think about the vent that's blowing in air conditioning? Probably not me. And then what about just doors rattling and the mm-hmm. doorknob? People get excited about that kind of stuff, and they figure that's a ghost. You know, I think it boils down to we enjoy being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you're afraid, you actually get a dose of endorphins. And you know what that does.
Mm-hmm.
It makes people happy. And so a little bit of excitement and being afraid, you know, it's catchy. You want to be afraid.
Scare me.
Yeah, that's the six possible scientific reasons for ghosts. Did you know that 45% of Americans believe in ghosts?
Really?
Yeah, 45%. And 18% of people bravely say they have contact with a ghost.
Really?
Yeah. You know, things like someone special dies, mm-hmm. and they see them afterwards. They hear them afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Or music will play, the favorite song of the person who's passed away. There's all kinds of things that people have reported that gave them the feeling that they were having contact, like being touched. Like one woman's husband passed, and he touched her a special way on her face, and she felt that for a week after he had passed on.
Wow.
And then it went away. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the jury's out on ghosts and things like that, but in my experience, they exist.
Are you walking again?
No. Where are you hearing the walking?
Down this way now.
Okay, so maybe they're trying to go a different direction for me.
We were hearing footsteps on the binaural microphone, and it seems like it was trying to get away from us, essentially. Wherever we were at, it was at the opposite end.
So we figured that maybe if I started asking the questions, whatever was up here would stop running away.
Are you in here?
There was a loud breath on this thing, man.
So right now, Brandon and I are on the second floor of the Civil War building. We have our thermal camera, and we've placed our teen camera, a data logger, and a motion detector at the end of the hall. We're hoping we can make some sort of contact with the shadow figure that's been reported here.
We hear that there's someone that walks up and down this hallway.
Are you walking to visit people in their rooms?
Some staff and I headed over to the Civil War building to look into these claims of this shadow person being seen on the second floor. What the hell was that, dude? Something just got thrown, dude.
What?
Alright, something just got thrown right here, Mustafa. Oh, it's going off. Look.
Yeah.
Oh, someone here with us. Look at guys. I got chills. Feel that, dude.
Yeah, I feel it. Let's go, let's cut it off.
Who's in here with us? I feel like I should not go in here. Oh my god, dude. I keep getting like that weird, like.
Feeling in your stomach?
Yeah, dude.
Really?
Yeah. There's someone in here with us right now.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you would like more information, if you want to read more strange stories, if you want to email us and tell us we're a bunch of tinfoil hat-wearing whack jobs, just log on to strangeharbor.net.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor.